KKRN Community Radio in Round Mountain, California, this is Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg. Community Works Radio is a locally produced show focusing on people who work for the common good of their communities. People who join in KKRN's mission of fostering positive social change and healthy communities. This is the first show of my 2018 return to listener-supported community radio in Shasta County. I did not leave the station, but turned my efforts to other aspects of running KKRN for the last 3 years. I'm glad to be returning with my show, and I'm looking forward to airing Community Works Radio on the last Tuesday of the month from 4 to 5 p.m. Today, I am very pleased to have Art Sevilla as my guest. The issue we will address today is that of unsheltered people living in Redding and what my guest and others in our community are doing to improve the situation. First of all, I'd like to introduce you or give you a little bit of information about Art Sevilla. Art is currently the assistant director at the Empire Recovery Center. He has been an alcohol and other drug counselor since 2013. He is a member of the Shasta Health Assessment and Redesign Collaborative and sits on the Whole Person Care Committee. Art is also a member of the board with Shasta Humanity Project and is the current board president for the Redding Homeless Day Resource Center. So welcome, Art. It's great to have you today.
Thank you, Ellen. I'm glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to this conversation today.
Me too. We Art and I actually met at a Martin Luther King celebration. I think it was the 50th anniversary of the speech or something. Not quite that. But anyway, we met out in the community doing our work. And so we started talking about Art's work, and I thought he would be a perfect candidate. So we're going to start with this question with the underlying issues in the homeless situation. Art, how do you think homelessness came to be?
You know, a lot of it, I personally believe that a lot of it is socioeconomic. You know, a lot of us are living paycheck to paycheck on a daily basis, and we have to make those hard choices between, you know, putting food on the table, paying the rent, paying bills. And so when you're making minimum wage, you're going to struggle. And there are other factors that we probably could get into as well, but that's probably good for another show. But that to me is kind of the gist of it, is socioeconomic for the most part. And there might be some other underlying issues as well. But like I said, we probably another show.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Or two.
I did do a little research on it, too, and came up with this quick fact about our country and the income inequality that exists here. We have nearly 100 million poor and working poor people in this country, with 14 million poor children. So we know it is a national issue. And also, I think you and I discussed a little bit, we remember that when we were growing up in the U.S. of A., this wasn't an issue. It's something that has come on basically, from my memory, since the Reagan administration.
Right. I grew up at a time where, you know, a one-income family was still something that happened. You know, nowadays, both parents have to work. Sometimes even the teenagers have to get in there as well and pitch in. But I grew up in an era where, you know, my father worked, and he worked a lot, but he was able to provide for all of us. We weren't rich by any stretch of the imagination, but
But you had five or six kids in your family, right?
Yeah, we're a family of eight, actually. Six children.
Right.
My father was always working, and, you know, we never had a need,
right,
so to speak.
So I want to just share two other little things that I learned. One is that there is estimated to be that 30% of people in homeless shelters are mentally ill. So often mental illness is another thing that adds to it. And what happened, as far as I remember in the Reagan administration, is that they closed mental hospitals all over the place. And so mentally ill people were no longer cared for in an appropriate setting.
Right.
And then finally, this last week, there was a thing that they call the homeless count. And you can tell us a little about that, but I did see, it was in the Reading Searchlight this week that in 2016 the count proved that or stated that there were 757. They had found 757 homeless people living in Reading, and you'll have to tell us a little bit about how accurate you think these are. And then in 2017 the count was 706. Now you've just done the 20. 18, but you don't have results yet.
No, we just did it last week. We actually started on Monday night doing the count at the Good News Rescue Mission. And we were able to count a lot of people down there. And then the actual day of the count was on Tuesday the 23rd. And we started bright and early, about 6:30 to 7 in the morning. And we went to about 10 o'clock. But then the rest of the week was also to make some catch some more people during that whole week. So we don't have the numbers on that yet. I think you asked if how accurate those numbers are. You know, we have a vast network of volunteers that go out and do these physical counts to as many places as possible. But I don't believe we catch everyone. Right. So those numbers might be less than what is actually out there. So it's almost physically impossible to get a true accurate count when it comes to the
picture. Yeah, there's quite a group of people that are trying to get the count, work together to get the count. Isn't
that
correct?
And there's some people that, you know, you are not going to be able to get to, whether because they're in a very, difficult area to get to, or they're not around.
Right. Okay. Now, another question I want to ask you, Art, is what was your inspiration to get involved with this work?
You know, quite frankly, I work in the field of drug addiction, and so I interact with a lot of folks who are either borderline homeless or literally homeless. And so I started noticing that, you know, our community was starting to see a little bit of an uptick on that. And I come from Los Angeles, so in L.A. we have a big problem with homelessness. And so when I started seeing it up here, I basically wanted to get involved in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I'm not a person that sits back. I'm more of a doer. And wherever I can be of help, that's how I do it. So I basically researched and found some of these local agencies that I felt I could get involved with.
Wonderful. Oh, that's great. We need people doing this work.
Yes.
So let's go on to Reading Homeless Day Resource Center, which you are the board president of. And can you tell us what you're trying to accomplish there, what the Day Resource Center is, what the group is doing?
So our Reading Homeless Day Resource Center, we are actually working on opening a facility to provide resources and services. Other communities have tried this. And it has made an impact as far as, you know, being able to assist those that are unsheltered. So we feel that we can bring something up here like that here in Reading and be able to open our doors, provide services, resources. So it's not necessarily a place where they're going to hang out. It's a place where we can actually get them through through the process of getting the help that they need. And so right now we're working diligently to find a place. We've been doing this for like the last several years. And, you know, it's been a bit of an uphill battle because not everyone wants to see a day center open next to their business or next to their neighborhood. And we understand that. But we do feel that there's a need and a place for it. And so we're working very hard to make that happen.
Great. And so what are you doing now in the meantime? What are your volunteers there doing far as trying to reach out to the unsheltered?
So some of us are doing, there's a good number of us on our board that are actually out there in the trenches, so to speak, you know, going out and doing outreach to just in general in the community, parks, the library. The library is a big, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit in the next few minutes, but We're doing a lot of outreach, letting our unsheltered community know that there's somebody here that's willing to advocate for them and to help them get out of that situation. And so we're also putting together every month a community advocacy group at the library. And our next one's going to be on February 20th from 2 to 4, which is a Tuesday. And we try to provide speakers, information to our unsheltered population. We actually go out and hand out little flyers, let them know that that's happening that day, and have them come in and let them know that, you know, like I said, there's people that are advocating on their behalf and trying to make them...
Putting them in touch with the resources that might help them.
Yes,
and so on.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So what about the Shasta Humanity Project?
So Shasta Humanity Project, actually that's the first nonprofit organization that I got involved with here in Shasta County when I was talking about just trying to see where I can get myself involved. And I did the research. That's the first one that came up. And I was like, okay, sounds like something that would be beneficial. So the concept of Shasta Humanity Project is the micro homes, a tiny home community similar to the one up in Oregon. I believe it's called Opportunity Village. And what they have is a small community of about 30 homes and small homes. And so they're providing housing, but they're also providing resources and services. And part of what this little village has going for them is that they're actually having their residents give back by working within the community or going outside of their little micro home community and working in the general population around them. So that, I think, gives the person who is struggling with homelessness that sense of connection back to their community again. And so that's another thing that we at Chassis Humanity Project want to be able to provide, but also Reading Homeless Day Resource Center. We want to make them feel part of. I mean, they're here, and they're here for various reasons, but the reality is that they're here. So we want to help them incorporate back into society, get back on their own two feet, and be productive members of society again.
So they would the little micro homes be temporary and transitional shelters for these people?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a permanent housing. The idea is to get them through there, to get them back on their feet, and then move them over to more permanent housing, and then have someone that needs that come in behind them, and then it's a whole process. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's transitional, it's temporary, but trying to solve chronic homelessness is not just giving somebody a place to stay. You can't expect someone that's been on the streets for many, many years or even a year or two and expect them to know how to live in this place. For the most part, they carry around their own personal belongings with them. And so if you put them in a home, they'll pick a corner and that's it. That's all they'll live out of. So you have to slowly do the reintegration into living again. And so that is a process that takes time.
Great. And, I could you give us maybe from your experiences a little story about a person that you've worked with? I mean, maybe helping our listeners understand how people end up being in the situation of not having a home.
So, as far as the field that I work in, which is substance usage, we did have a couple a few years back that came in and had a problem with drugs, were literally homeless, lived out of a shopping cart. And so we had this couple come in who wanted to address their substance use issue. And, when I found out that they were homeless, one of the things that it actually took me back a little bit because they were coming into outpatient. And outpatient, what that means is that, they come to the facility three times a week, but then they have to go, theoretically home.
Right.
And so this couple didn't have a home. So that right there is a barrier. That right there is a challenge to begin with. But these folks, they did what they had to do, and I can say that they completed the program. They eventually found housing. Initially, they ended up staying with friends, they actually ended up finding their own housing. And I think if I'm not mistaken, the wife ended up getting a job here locally. And unfortunately, though, I haven't stayed in touch with them. I haven't done any follow-up, so I don't know where they're at right now at this moment. I'm hoping that they are, still home, housed. But that was my experience with that the first time. And I still hadn't been fully involved in the homeless.
So drug addiction creates problems that make it hard to remain in a home sometimes. So
yeah.
Do you know whether most of the people in Reading that are homeless come from Reading or from the area? Or do you think people travel here?
That's a good question. That's a question that's asked a lot. And, there's a combination of there's a little bit of everything. When I was part of the Pit Count on Tuesday, I did come across a few people who weren't originally from here, but they knew someone or they had family here. That's why they're here. And there was another gentleman that I got a chance to speak with from the Bay Area who had initially was just passing through, was making his way up to, I believe, Oregon or Washington. But this is where he's at now. And so some of them are passing through. Some of them are not from here. Some of them are from here. They have a history here. I've actually met two people who were born and raised here, went to school here, and they're literally homeless.
Yes. Okay, I want to just take a minute to say, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Community Works Radio with Ellen Sugg, that's me, on KKRN Community Radio, listener-supported community radio, located in Round Mountain with our license in Bella Vista. My guest today is Art Sevilla, who works with the homeless population as a drug counselor as well. And we're talking about the homeless situation in Reading and what he and other people like him are trying to do to make it better, trying to take an attempt to help people who maybe don't understand how people end up getting homeless, become homeless, etc. So anyway, that's what we've been talking about. If you just tuned in, that's what you're listening to. And thank you for listening to KKRN. So there are quite a few groups in Reading, as far as I understand, that are doing things for the homeless like yourself. Would you like to talk a little bit about some of those and how people are working together?
So one of the biggest examples of that work, for many, many years now, the Hope Van has been a primary source for helping people who are literally unsheltered.
Is that from the Shasta Community Health?
It is. Shasta Community Health Center has the mobile health unit, and so they're the ones who are out there, you know, doing the work of making sure that our folks are staying healthy to the best of their ability. And so they're stationed around the city in different places during the week. They're at Empire Recovery Center Tuesdays and Wednesdays in our parking lot. So we allow that service there. Another agency that is also doing great work is also through Shasta Community Health Center is Bridges to Housing, which is through Dr. McMullen, who for me is an inspiration because he's actually literally out there, looking for folks to see if they're willing to do some changes.
Yeah, and doesn't he provide health care one day a week?
Yes. He goes out and he's looking to see who needs what. But at the same time, he has a social worker with him who is looking to see if they want to do something different for themselves. And he actually offers a temporary shelter to them to get them back on their feet.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
So my understanding with that is that if they don't have any money, or if they're getting money, but they don't have money right then and there to pay for a room, Bridges to Housing will fund them for the first month. And while they're there, they provide them with services, but they're also trying to get them reestablished to better manage their money so that then they can start paying on their own. They become self-sufficient. And in the meantime, they're also looking to see if they can place them in a more permanent environment.
Where do they go? Where does he send them?
Unfortunately, that is a big issue in our community right now is housing. So, there isn't like a low-income apartment that you can put them in. So right now we're using the best resource we have available at our disposal right now is our local motels. So one of them is the Ponderosa and the other one is the Capri.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, that sounds like really amazing work that Dr. McMillan's doing.
It is.
Down there. So and then there's continuum of care. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, so our COC is made up of different nonprofit organizations, local county and city agencies, and so it's a collaboration between all these agencies to address the homeless issue. We do have a coordinator at this time, Susie Cockums, and she came in, with a lot on her plate, but I believe she's turned it around and. She's kind of got all these agencies working together. We are a part of them, both Empire Recovery Center and the Reading Homeless Day Resource Center, and also Shasta Humanity Project. We're all a part of that. So we are working on addressing those issues amongst all these agencies because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take that.
Right.
It can't be just one agency, or you can't expect the city of Reading or Shasta County to come up with solutions. It's going to take a lot more than that.
Well, I kind of want to go two ways from here on this. One is if there are unsheltered people listening, or friends of unsheltered people or relatives, what do you recommend for them to do? Where do you go if you're just becoming homeless and you're not sure what to do? Where can you get services?
You know, there is an online resource. They also have a phone number. It's Shasta 211. It is a place that has just a lot of information as far as food, services. If you have a substance use problem, they have that on there. If you have a mental health problem, same thing. So that's one of the primary ones. The other one is I like to give my business card out, and I encourage people to call. Just call me. Mm-hmm. Call my office. I will do what I can to connect folks who are looking for help. to the services that they're looking for.
And are there is People of Progress still passing out information?
People of Progress is a great resource. Thanks for reminding me, Ellen. Yeah, no, People of Progress is still in town, and they have a great group of people that are working out of that that office or that facility. And they have a vast array of resources as well. So if you're looking for short-term food, People of Progress, if you're looking for
clothing,
a telephone, I believe they have their website up and running, and I think they have all that information on there. And so People of Progress is definitely a good resource to reach out to.
Do they still have bus tickets, like RABA bus tickets? For a while, they were providing just bus tickets to help people get around if they didn't have a vehicle.
You know, I don't know, but here's the thing. I do have we do have a new resource by Shasta County in our community that is providing transportation for people who have Medi-Cal, who are on Partnership Health Plan. So if you have a mental health appointment or you have a drug and alcohol appointment, you call them and they'll set up transportation to take you to and from. And so that is something that is just recently started. And so it's a resource that we hand out to our fellow community members when they're over there looking for a ride. Mm-hmm. As far as your bus tickets are concerned, I'm not 100% sure if that is still a service that's being provided. But I do know the Shasta County's put out this transportation option as well.
And going to People of Progress on Shasta Street or near Shasta Street?
Yeah, it's between Shasta and Eureka Way, right behind or right next door to, right behind Napa.
Right, not right behind Napa. And they have office hours every morning.
Yeah, I believe there's 8 to 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, all day, where you can go and they'll put you in touch with resources.
Yes. I mean, the food when they give out food, it is during a certain amount of time, time of day. Same thing with the phones, but best thing to do is just reach out to them and they'll be more than happy to give you that information.
Okay. So you were also talking about the library. So
yes.
There might be a little bit to talk about.
Yeah.
What were you going to say there?
You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of your listeners have visited the library at one point or another. And, I like going to the library. I like taking my kids to the library. I love books. And when I've gone to the library, when I go to the library, you do notice that a lot of our unsheltered population is hanging around. So honestly, by default or for whatever reason, our library has become a day center. And so that's not the purpose of our library. So that's another reason why Reading Homeless Day Resource Center would love to, come online so that we can take that from the library and, work with these folks, and then have our library be what it's meant to be, a resource for everyone. Not to say that it's not, but, the library is doing what they can at the moment. And they have a lot of great people working there, volunteers as well, and they're amazing. But Reading Homeless Day Resource Center really wants to help out. And so I think that's like the primary example of what we want to be able to do is take that from the library and let the library be what it is, which
is so have a place where people can go in the day, but not only just to hang out, maybe to have classes.
Yeah,
have
resources, classes, life skills, coping skills, job search.
Would there be things like showers, or would that be?
That is in the works. Yeah, so that's another agency that we work closely with, which was the Clean Break Project. We had the shower trailer last year for about 16 weeks. And that's a very valuable resource. So we're working on maybe bringing that back and being part of the community as well.
I understand that in Bernie, one of the churches and one of the seniors at Bernie High are doing a project to bring laundry facilities.
So that would be part of the day center as well.
Is that another thing that you would be doing down in Reading? I mean, that's up in Bernie.
And, right. And if they're doing that, that's amazing. I encourage them to do that. One of the things that we really want to do as part of the day center, again, is, work with everyone. I mean, I want to reach out to our faith-based community as well. They do a lot of great work too. A lot of it kind of, it's unknown or maybe it's not advertised. But I do know a lot of the local faith-based places that work with this population as well. So we want to be able to work together. And yes, our day center, we'd like to have a laundry services. People don't have a place where they can plug in their electronics sometimes. So, hey, come on in, plug them in. Pets, That's another big one. We'd love to have the ability of having kennels. So if somebody has a pet, they have a doctor's appointment, they're not going to be able to take their pets. They can keep them there.
Great. Okay, well, it's almost getting to be the middle of the program, and we'd like to take a little break with music. You are listening to KKRN Community Radio, a listener-supported community radio that has been in Shasta County for almost 7 years. My name is Ellen Sugg. We are doing Community Works Radio today, and I have Art Sevilla as my guest in the studio. And I am going to give you a little musical break with a beautiful song by Rita Hosking called Come Sunrise.
Everything's gonna be alright. Come right or wrong, there's strength to carry on. All night forever, that's the story of a slave. But come dark or dawn, you're a slave to no one. Listen to the songs that the birdies sing. Dark and into the light, and you know that it's really gonna be alright. Alright, come sunrise.
That was Rita Hosking singing Come Sunrise from her album of the same name, I believe. Yes, Come Sunrise. This is Ellen Sugg. I'm the host of Community Works Radio on KKRN Community Radio, your listener-supported community radio for Shasta County. My guest today is Art Sevilla, who works at the Empire Recovery Center, but does a lot of volunteer work also in the field of helping the unsheltered population, and that's our topic today. So we're going to get back to that, and here we are.
We were talking about some of the agencies, I believe, that we were that are also involved in the community with trying to address this issue.
Yes, exactly right. So, and so you want to talk a little bit about the whole person care program?
Yeah, so we do have programs within the community that are working to address the homeless issue in a way where we can also provide services along with housing. But as I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, one of the biggest hurdles that we have is housing. You know, we don't have readily available units that we could consider, transitional homes. But the whole person care program basically is set up in a way where if you are a partnership participant, you have Medi-Cal, and you are have used the ER in the last few months on several occasions, or you've been hospitalized, then they, you get referred into the whole person care. It could be, we do it. We, Empire Recovery Center, we do it. And then they work with you. The social worker works with you to get you tied to the proper resources, and they're working to get you housed so that you can get out of that, get out of the unsheltered mode. So that's a program that's been up and running for the last several months. And I believe it's between Shasta Community Health Center and Hill Country that are working on getting, working that process. So the whole person care program is still fairly new, and we're still working out the details. But I believe that once we get it completely up and running, it'll be something that'll be a benefit to our community. And right now it's being run by Shasta County Health and Human Services.
Right. So I can just mention here, too, that I am on the board of Hill Country Health and Wellness Center, and very proud that I have been on the board since the very beginning. I helped to open it up and still serve there. So Hill Country is what you call a federally qualified health center, and so is Shasta Community Health. You might have heard them in reference to the budgets, because our dear friends in Congress have just cut the community health centers out of the budget. Of course, they're saying, well, we'll probably get them in later. Let's don't give it up. But it is federally funded health care, so it helps us find the underserved in the county and make sure that everybody has access to health care regardless of their income. And so Hill Country is really involved in a variety of ways with the whole homeless question, too, because we have a medical clinic in Reading now, a satellite medical clinic, and so we're seeing people there. We're certainly very aware of the problems with mental health, because the community health centers provide mental health care as well as dentistry and medical care. So Hill Country also has the Care Center in Reading, which it opened a couple of years ago, and that's partially funded by the city of Reading. And it's there as a drop-in center, basically, for people that are in mental health needs. And they're at Gold Street. I can get you the exact address in a minute. They're at Gold Street, and from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday, you can go there if you're in a mental health crisis and walk in the door and get help. And on the weekends, it's 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. So it's basically giving another place to go besides jail if you're having a mental health crisis. Are you familiar with that program, Art?
So one of the perks of working with Empire Recovery Center and working alongside the other folks in the Reading Homeless Day Resource Center is that, we do interact. We do work together. Empire and Hill Country are very supportive of each other. Reading Homeless Day Resource Center is also very supportive of Hill Country. So, yeah, very familiar with that whole process. We've referred people to the care facility from Empire. And when I am wearing my RHDRC hat, I've also, given referrals to the to the care center as well. And they're located at 1401 Gold Street.
That's right. Yes, 1401 Gold Street. And care, the Hill Country Care Center, CARE stands for Counseling and Recovery Engagement. And it's urgent outpatient mental health services, 365 days a year. And I did get the hours correct. And so anyway, it is a really a great resource. And I know that from the very first day, people have been coming in there in,
yes.
in large numbers. It's really fulfilling a need.
Yes, it is.
And so that leads into two other things that we can talk about. One is that with the city of Reading, or the county, I can't remember which, you might know better than I do. Hill Country is also about to take on, start sending out mobile units. In other words, people, healthcare, mental health professionals, along with some, won't some of the Reading Police Department go
so
with them?
My understanding is it's through Shasta County Mental Health, working alongside Hill Country, and it's a mobile mental health unit. To do outreach, to get to the folks who, for whatever reason, aren't coming into the care facility or aren't coming into Shasta County Mental Health. And so it's going to be another valuable resource similar to the Hope Van. And with the collaboration between the county and Hill Country, I believe that, they're gonna definitely fill a need that is so desperately needed in that area, which is mental health. It is very under-addressed, and it is a very, for me, this is just my own personal opinion. It is a very frustrating process to have to deal with, when you're trying to get someone to navigate through that system. But again, I do believe that there are a lot of great people that are working on making some positive changes when it comes to that. And I believe that this mobile mental health unit will be a positive step in the right direction.
Right. So it will go to people where they are rather than waiting for them to come to
us. Yeah.
I
mean, my understanding is they're literally going to go out to, homeless camps. They're going to go out there. Mm-hmm. I know the city of Reading has a community officer, and, he's already going out there. And I know some of the social workers go out with them to try to connect with a lot of our unsheltered population that are out in the wilderness, so to speak. Because for whatever reason, they're not connecting. So we're being proactive. We're going to meet them. Mm-hmm. And so for the most part, that's usually how it works.
Right. So how does the Reading Police Department relate to this issue?
I really haven't had an opportunity to talk to Chief Moore personally. I believe they're trying to address it in a way where, honestly, the community wants to have this dealt with, and I totally understand that. There's a frustration because of the rise in the crime rate. There's frustration because of the rise in substance usage. And I don't know if everybody's aware or not, but there's also a rise in mental health. So all these combinations, they're just a recipe for potential disaster.
Well, it seems like it's a chicken or egg question. What comes first, the
exactly.
problems or the home?
Right.
Homelessness doesn't create all these problems, I don't think.
No, not necessarily.
I think you end up homeless because you're mentally ill or a drug addict.
Yes.
Or have other circumstances. Like you've said to me, many people out there are one check away, one
yeah.
paycheck away. You
yep.
lose your job. You have a health crisis in your family that
yep.
costs more money than you expect. And as he said earlier, you have to choose between rent or food for your children.
And believe it or not, there's actually people out there that are living in their car and they work. They have a job. But they don't make enough to come up with a deposit. And I think nowadays it's a deposit, first month's rent, and the rent. So
yeah, it's thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, I think who's the one that someone put out that in this country, making minimum wage, there is no state where you can actually rent a apartment or a studio on what
right.
you're making. So, I mean, that's already a barrier right there. So it is a very difficult situation. And like you mentioned, what came first? Well, at this point, I think there's a lot of us that, we just want to address it and address the areas that these folks are in. Is it mental health? Let's get them the assistance. Is it substance use? Let's get that. And then just continue to work with them, mm-hmm.
And provide some services.
Yeah, the other option is just leave them out there.
Well, I wonder myself, what is the point in going to a camp and totally clearing it out? Where, I mean, the people aren't going to disappear. Where do the people go? I mean, I wonder whether that's a good way to try to deal with the problem.
Well, you know, honestly, there's an environmental impact, though, too, you know, because a lot of these camps are usually by the river. And so I can understand that to a certain extent. But, you know, when you put it in perspective, it is pretty inhumane, you know, because that is usually their belongings. That's all they own. So that's the right and wrong question. Is it right or is it wrong? I mean, you know, my primary focus is to get all these, get as many of our unsheltered population tied into services and get them back on their own 2 feet and nurture that sense of hope and faith in them.
Yes.
Because a lot of them are usually hopeless and faithless for whatever reason. And so if we can bring back that hope and faith and allow them to, you know, realize that there is a chance, well, usually there is a chance.
Well, okay, just to tell you, what I run into sometimes when talking about this issue is people say, well, it's their own fault. You know, why should we help them? It's their own fault. They don't have to take drugs. And I'm wondering, you know, what kind of answer you give to people on that? Because,
you know, I kind of sort of thought about that, too, before I got started in this, because I was like, well, yeah, you know, they're doing drugs. They must be wanting to just be out there. But, you know, having the opportunity to talk to a lot of our folks that are out there, some of them start using drugs to survive. You know, you have a female on the streets literally living like at a park bench or under a bridge. If she falls asleep, she runs the risk of being robbed or beaten or, you know,
assaulted.
Raped. Yeah. And so they take these drugs to stay alert, to be awake. And like I said, basically to survive. And sometimes because they don't have the ability to buy food or whatever, they use drugs to suppress their hunger. And I mean, it's not healthy, obviously. And it's not, again, right or wrong. But that's the reality. You're surviving. And so I'm at a point where it's like the right and wrong thing for me is, do we leave them out there or just not worry about them, or do we do something?
Yeah, I was kind of shocked when I saw the number 706 people. And so if it's twice that, 1,500 people in a town of almost 100,000,
right.
That seems like it should be a surmountable problem. I mean, where to me personally, I think, where is our compassion? And, you know, I remember a thing about that you judge a society not by its richest, but by the stature of its poorest.
Right.
And if we were to be judged by that, we're not doing very well.
No.
And it's not that many people. And I look, and so to me, it seems like there's some people that just need maybe institutions to be in. They're too sick to function you know, successfully in our society.
Like a mental health hospital.
Like a mental health hospital.
Right.
And there are very few of them anymore.
Right.
And it's not like there weren't problems with the mental health hospital. I was a young woman when they started closing them in the 80s under Reagan. And I had been teaching people a class about mental health and went to some mental health facilities then. And, you know, they weren't perfect. One flew over the cuckoo's nest you know, how bad it can be. Yeah. So they need to be improved, but we don't need to just stop having them because some of these people are sick. It's like if you have cancer, you're not going to put them just say, well, go, sorry, that's your own fault. Go live on the street until you die.
I mean, in my field, I've seen the miracle happen. You know, folks who were out there who were, you know, literally in the midst of their addiction and doing things that you would normally not do when you're not under the influence, you know, turn their life around and eventually give back to their community. Those are the miracles. Those are the things that I've seen happen. And so if we can have the ability to replicate that, I mean, I understand that there are people, like I said earlier, they're frustrated and, you know, the clamor is for more jails. You know, law enforcement, jail space, it all has its place in our society. There's a reason why we have those. But I don't believe that that's the answer to tackle our homeless issue and our drug and alcohol issue and our mental health issue. I don't believe that's the straight answer. There has to be rehabilitative services along the way. And that's another area that's also taken a big hit financially over the years is social services. you know, it's been decimated, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
That's usually what they cut whenever our economy goes down.
Right. I think if you actually look at our country's record versus other industrialized nations and so-called advanced nations, we probably have the worst homelessness of all. Now, I'm not sure that's a fact, but
yeah,
I do know that there's many countries that do not have a massive homeless population like we do in our cities. And I really feel that is the lack of the social net, you know, the net to help
net,
people.
Yeah, the social safety net.
Yes, the social safety net. Thank you. And that there has to be, we have to look at it. And as a group, like I said, we have to be compassionate. I look at empty buildings in Burnie where I live and just think, wow, I wish we could make one of those, a drug abuse rehab place. And I wish we could put some people there to spend the night. Of course, that's rather idealistic, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's so odd to see lots of empty buildings just sitting locked up, empty.
I think nationwide we have more empty homes than we have homeless people.
Wow.
I think I just read that earlier this week. I was down in San Francisco in September, and I was kind of thinking the same thing you were thinking. I took a walk. And I was going down, I can't remember what street it was, but it was not too far from the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center. And I'm walking down, and there's a lot of these empty buildings. And right when you're walking down these sidewalks, there's literally people in tents and sheds and little tarps that are homeless living on the side of the street there. And as I'm walking down all these empty buildings, I'm thinking to myself, you know, if we could open one of these. And then over to the right, I looked over and I saw a pet shelter and a pet hospital. And I'm like, wow. The irony, you know, it's like we have that for, I mean, I love pets too. I'm a pet person. But here we have all of our fellow human beings literally on the street and all these empty buildings. And yeah, those are things that get me.
Yeah, I know. It's hard. So I want to take this moment just to say, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KKRN Community Radio, a listener-supported radio located right here in Shasta County. Our license is in Bella Vista. Our studios are in Round Mountain and Redding. The main studio is in Round Mountain, and that's where we are today. This is Community Works Radio. I'm Ellen Sugg, the host, and I am interviewing Art Sevilla, who works with the homeless population in Redding. He's a drug counselor as well, and he works with the Redding Homeless Day Resource Center. That's I have to think about that one all the time. Redding Homeless Day Resource Center.
It's a tongue twister. It took me a while to get it too.
And the Shasta Humanity Project, which are organizations that are trying to address the problems and solve some of the problems. So that's what you're listening to, and we're glad you tuned in. Thank you for listening to KKRN. So one of the other big things that I hope to touch on while talking to you today, Art, is if our listeners are out there listening and agree with, you know, us that people can help this situation, what can they do? How can people who might want to help or become volunteers or take action on behalf of homeless people like yourself, what can they do? Like, what about your institutions in particular? I think that's who you could probably talk about.
So I'm going to start out by giving a little bit of information on both the agency that I work for and the two agencies that I am a part of. We're all nonprofits, but we all have our personal or our responsibilities in each of these areas. So Empire, addressing the addicted population. So Empire Recovery Center, our main building's on 1237 California Street. Our phone number where you can call and ask to speak with me if you'd like, it's area code 530-243-7470. Someone is always there to help if you have questions about where to start or what to do. Please call us. We can point you in the right direction inside the residential services, outpatient, detox. If you have someone that you know that wants to detox from whatever substance they're on, that's the number to call. That's where you want to reach out and let us know what's going on. Our website is Empire Recovery Center, all one word, .org. And we just recently revamped our website, so there's a lot of new information on there. And so if you want to take a look at that, there's ways of connecting with us through there. We do have social media as well. We're on Facebook. So Empire Recovery Center and then Empire Outpatient Services were both on Facebook. The other agency that you can reach out if you want to be a part of the Reigning Homeless Day Resource Center, we are always looking for volunteers, especially for our community advocacy group that we're going to be hosting at the library the third Tuesday of every month. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, February 20th from 2 to 4 will be our next event. If you want to be a part of that, we're always looking for an extra pair of hands to help us out, set up, clean up, and work with this population. You can reach us by phone, 953-2277. That's 953-2277. You can also reach us by email, and it's RHD, as in David, RC. So RHDRC01@gmail.com. And our website is RHDRC.org. There's another way of contacting us there as well. All this information is on our website. But if you really want to be a part of the day center, that's how we would like to hear from you. Just call us, email us, or come to one of our events. Our information will also be on our website and on our Facebook page. But get involved. That's how I did it. I just went to a Shasta Humanity project over 2 years ago, and that's how my journey started. And so finally, I do want to end with Shasta Humanity Project. It's ShastaHumanityProject.org. That is our website. And our phone number is 710-0243. So 710-0243. And our email address is info@ShastaHumanityProject.org. That is another great organization. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, we are trying to develop a small home community in Shasta County. And we believe that actually will help address a lot of this housing issue that we have, because housing is not readily available.
Yes. So this brings to mind another couple of questions for you, Art. How are they funded? And is part of what volunteers do help raise funds for these? These
yes.
are nonprofits. How do you fund? How is it being funded?
Yeah, a lot of our funding is through donations, grants. For the Empire, it's primarily grants and donations. We just had our fundraiser in November, our second annual fundraiser. Look out on our Facebook page and on our website for our fundraiser towards the end of this year as well. But that's how a lot of these agencies exist, by the donations of our fellow community members. We have some grant writers who will put out applications, and that's how we exist. I mean, I'm hoping that with further collaboration with the city or the county, maybe that'll open up some other financial avenues. I know that being part of the COC, that can also help, which is the continuum of care. There's funding through that organization as well. So, yeah, as a nonprofit, we are definitely dependent on donations and volunteer time. And it's just an amazing process to be a part of.
And if people, just to reiterate, if people want to just call you personally to ask you more about this, you've said that would be okay, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
Whether you're a homeless person, an unsheltered person, or you would like to volunteer and know more about these organizations that Art works with. And he said that you could call 530-243-7470, which is his place of employment,
yes.
the Empire Recovery
Correct.
Center, and ask for Art Sevilla.
Yes, and I'm gonna give out my email address, and this is my own personal email address. So it's A Sevilla, so ASEVILLA, PHP @gmail.com. So if you want to reach me by email, I do a lot of emailing, so that would be another option. So email me. Get in touch with me that way. Let me know what you would like to be a part of. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm involved with a lot of amazing people, and we're all working to find a solution, or at least to address this issue. Personally, I don't believe that we are going to solve it, we're going to eradicate it. I think homelessness will be a part of, I think you and I were talking about how back in the day we addressed them as hobos.
Yes.
Transients. I mean, it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But I do strongly believe that if we all work together, we can address it, minimize the impact, So email me. I'd love to hear from you. And we're always looking for, you know, new ideas. We don't have all the answers. I mean, there's probably something out there that we haven't thought of, and we'd like to hear it.
And there's, you know, it's thinking outside the box sometimes helps.
All the time.
It's not the problem that you have. You've never faced the, you know, thought about what would help.
Right.
And you come up with an idea. It might be a little different than people that are constantly thinking about it. And there are, every city, I think, is dealing with this.
Yes.
And I've heard very good things about Chico and the way that they're doing some of the things they're doing to try to get people into shelters. And they have a program where individuals mentor a homeless group, you know, homeless family or individual, you know, and provide direct services just on a one-to-one basis.
Yeah. I believe Chico's also starting up a small micro home community as well. Mm-hmm. I don't have the details on here with me right now, but I got an email a few weeks back about that information, and I knew nothing about it. And so to see this happening in a neighboring county, neighboring city, I mean, I think it's amazing. And, you know, I'm almost wanting to drive down there and just see it for myself. That's what I did when I went over to Humboldt County in May. I drove over there for the very first time. I had never been, but they have the Betty Chin Day Center over there. And I just wanted to see it for myself, you know, just to see what that was like.
Yeah. So if you've seen something and you know, elsewhere, call Art and tell him.
Yeah, let me know.
You know what, Art? We're just about out of time.
Oh.
I know.
This went by quick.
It did. So I just want to ask you, for your final comment, your parting words.
So, you know, I'm going to keep it very simple. I mean, the bottom line is get involved. Just do some research. Find out who's out there. I mean, you've heard of a few of the organizations that I'm a part of. But just get involved. Do it. That's kind of what I did. I just did it, and I'm doing it. And so I'm excited. I'm looking forward to whatever this year has in store for us. But I'm working alongside a lot of great people, and that's what makes it even better to experience.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ellen.
So you've been listening to Community Works Radio on KKRN, and I want to thank you for listening. I'm Ellen Sugg. I'm the host. This is my first time back on the air on Community Works Radio in 3 years or so. I was doing other things and still am doing other things at KKRN to keep it on the air, but we really felt that this program has a place, and we want to welcome people in the community to come and share their story and what they're doing, just as Art has today. If you would like to talk about your community organization and work place, you can, and your work, you can call me on the KKRN business line, 337-1101. If I'm not there, there'll be an answering machine, and I do check those messages from time to time. And in the future, I hope you'll tune in on the fourth Tuesday of the last Tuesday of each month at 4 p.m. to hear your neighbors tell us about the good work they're doing for the benefit of our community. I also would like to remind you that KKRN is a listener-sponsored, volunteer, all-volunteer organization, and we need your help. So please remember to donate to us if you can. You can do it online at kkrn.org or send us a check to P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California. We wouldn't be here without our listener supporters, and we just like to remind people of that on a regular basis. And next up on KKRN Today is going 5 o'clock is the Tom Hartman program. So stay tuned for Tom Hartman. And in the meantime, it's going to take us all.
We need the Buddhists and the Baptists, Quakers and Catholics too, the atheists and agnostics, Muslims and Jews. We need people of all nations, all colors and all creeds, to put an end to war now, put an end to greed. Gonna take us all to make a change, take us all to win the peace. Gonna take us all in the streets. Gonna take us all.